All right, this is another sensor investigation. When Cosmos came out a few years ago, we were talking with the University of Arizona, and they wondered if we would put a Cosmos system near one of our large Wien lysimeters because they were interested in looking at a direct mass balance measurements to compare with what Cosmos was sensing. And we did that, and we did it on a field in which we installed subsurface drip irrigation and have been looking at that for the last couple of years. Well, Cosmos is the Cosmic Ray Soil Moisture Observing System. It detects fast and thermal neutrons, and the detectors are at 2 meters above the soil surface. It's sensitive to the near-surface soil water content and the near-surface atmospheric humidity, the absolute humidity, over a large radius. But it is weighted towards the center, logarithmically or exponentially, or in some fashion so that it's weighted much heavier towards the surface. It is insensitive to salinity, which is a plus. A lot of our soil water sensors are not. They're sensitive to salinity. The depth of measurement is inversely related to the soil water content, and they give a range of 15 centimeters to 70 centimeters. We have found that that's a little bit different. And biomass and humidity can interfere with the measurements. Well, we had some questions. What is the depth of measurement? Can the soil water storage be computed? Can it be useful for ET estimation, which is a critical question for us? Is it sensitive to subsurface water? And we have a way of finding that out because we're irrigating subsurface. How important is interference from biomass, and how important is interference from humidity of the air? And finally, can it be useful for salinity and irrigation management? We're working with the International Atomic Energy Agency on a multi-country coordinated research project that's looking at whether Cosmos can be used for some of our salinity management issues around the world. So we have this in the center of a square 5-hectare field, Coleman silty clay loam, subsurface drip irrigation tape installed like Freddie talked about, 30 to 35 centimeters deep and 1.5 meters spacing in the inter-row. And the precision weighing lysimeter is calibrated to 0.04 millimeters accuracy. Around this, we have 8 neutron probe access tubes to 2.3 meter depth. And at each access tube, we placed 5 in 2013 and 6 in 2014 CS655 sensors that were calibrated to our soil. These are very good sensors. And you can see the depths we used in 2013. So we grew corn in 2013, sorghum this year, we'll do cotton next year. And we get plant height, leaf area index, and above ground biomass every 2 weeks. We wanted to assess the interference of these with Cosmos and whether it can pick up the irrigations from the SDI. So that's the field in Google, and you can see the approximate locations of the neutron probe access tubes. And if this mouse will work, I don't see the mouse here. Is it working there? There it is. Lysimeter's right here, and that little white dot's the hatch, and the Cosmos is positioned right by that. And around this field, which is not 300 meters in any direction, there are irrigated fields in all directions. So it's pretty much the same kind of cover in all directions. This is an example of what we did this year with the CS655 installation between the crop row and the drip tape. This is what it looked like in early July. Wien lysimeter is in this area. Cosmos setup is right here. And for those who haven't seen inside the box, This is the fast neutron detector. It's a slow neutron detector encased in heavy plastic, which slows down the fast neutrons. And the detector here, which this is a wonderful system that we've got here with this mouse. I'll talk to ASA about how wonderful that is. But the silver detector that you see on the left is the slow neutron detector. It's the same detector. This all goes up by satellite and goes back to the University of Arizona, where we are allowed to download the data. This is the sort of data we got, leaf area index over time and biomass over time. Here I've expressed that as the water in the biomass, but we also got the dry matter, and that's important because dry matter is carbohydrates. It's full of hydrogen, and so it affects the signal as much as the water in the corn crop. And notice that the water in the corn crop peaked out at about 5 millimeters. It's not a huge amount of water in the corn itself, and the carbohydrate in the corn itself is probably equivalent to that, although I haven't calculated it. What we've discovered, and I'll kind of give the end story a little early, is the inner canopy space is very humid in an irrigated corn crop, and that humidity in the inner canopy space is affecting Cosmos as much as anything else. So here's some results. This is filtered with a 12-hour boxcar filter, and the black line are the Cosmos data. The red line is the mean CS655 data, and the green and brown lines were plus and minus one standard deviation. On the left part of that, the corn is full cover. You can see where it's senesced and where we harvested it. When the corn senesced, the Cosmos data flipped from being in excess of what we measured to being less than what we measured, which is a function of both the biomass reduction and the water in the biomass being reduced, and also to the fact that when we quit irrigating in our semi-arid environment, there was no more water vapor in the inner canopy space, and so it became much less humid. And you can see our neutron probe measurements there as well. We wanted to see whether or not our CS655 stations were equivalent in the kind of scatter that we had from our neutron probe. And if we weighted the 10 and 30 centimeter readings from the neutron probe, we got an overall mean standard deviation of 0.014 meter cubed per meter cubed. And the mean SD for the CS655 arrays was 0.015, so we're very satisfied with that. If we only use the 10 centimeter neutron probe reading, our standard deviation went up a little bit, which is not at all surprising since the soil water variability near the surface is greater. When we took the Cosmos data, and we did these water content correlations for various depth ranges of data from the CS655 sensors, the best correlations were using all of the CS655 sensors. In other words, the profile water content from 0 to 30 centimeters. The uncalibrated data gave us this sort of a regression relationship. And here we're not using the Cosmos effective depth yet. You know, the relationship's not too bad. When we applied all the corrections, what we found was that correlation actually decreased some, but the slope did become closer to 1. We looked at this depth sensitivity by looking at the CS655 data in the 0 to 7.5 centimeter range, 0 to 12.5, 0 to 17.5, etc. So we kept adding sensors and depths to compute the millimeters of storage, or in this case, water content. And what we saw was the correlation kept increasing. So that's why this year we put sensors even deeper. in the soil, because the correlation kept increasing as we used more and more data from deeper depths. The slope started increasing as well. And when we corrected the data, we had essentially the same story. There's really not much difference in the story between the corrected and uncorrected data. This is when we looked at storage, and we calculated storage using the effective depth. For us, effective depth is the depth over which the sensor measures, and we should be able to multiply the water content times the effective depth to get a storage value. When we do that, we get the green line using the COSMOS data. So the effective depth algorithm, in fact, doesn't mean what we think it means. It means something else, and we have talked with our colleagues in Arizona, and they agree that there is something here that needs to be looked at pretty strongly. One of the things I want to point out here is that while we're irrigating, water is constantly being redistributed due to plant water uptake and water coming in from the drip lines, which we heard earlier is two- and three-dimensional. And you can see the standard deviations are much greater during the irrigation season than they are after we quit irrigating. Now, when we looked at the corrected storage, and I'll flip back and come back down again, uncorrected, corrected, we really didn't gain much applying all the corrections, the water vapor correction, the plant biomass correction, the plant water content correction, the soil organic matter correction, the soil clay bound water correction. Those, in sum, did not really improve the picture a whole lot. And one of the things I plotted here with these blue dots, irrigations during this part of the season, of full cover, and what we see is that it's just not very responsive to irrigations. It's very responsive to precipitation events. So water coming in from the surface, we got a great response. Water coming up from 30 centimeters, very muted, if any. In some cases, we could not see the response, which is not real surprising. Never intended to see that water from deep. But for people who question whether a shallow water table at a meter or so is going to affect their COSMOS readings, the answer is probably no. It's just not going to see that shallow water table. Except to the extent that you have some movement from that up into the layers that the COSMOS is sensitive to. Late in that year, we had a rainfall event after that field of 2 minutes. Thank you. After that field had been cleared of biomass, you can see it was 8.35 millimeters. The 5 might be a little sketchy, so let's say 8.3. And you can see that happened after midnight on day 309. And then there was a little bit more rainfall, and then I put an arrow there where drying began that day, and we lost 2 millimeters to evaporation on that day, 1.3 on the subsequent day, 0.88 on the third day. And what we saw with COSMOS is we saw COSMOS responding during the rainfall to some extent, although the noise in the data make it hard to distinguish that. And this is a 12-hour boxcar filter. If we filter it more, we can get it to behave a little bit more nicely. And the circles, by the way, are 24-hour means for the COSMOS. But what we see is that, you know, in our semi-arid area, when we get rainfall, we lose almost all of it. A small rainfall, it flashes off to evaporation. And this is what's happening. That air above the soil is being humidified, and the COSMOS is measuring the humidity of the atmosphere, not the water content in the soil. So there are issues now. I didn't get time to put the corrected data in this, but I did plot them up in a spreadsheet, and it mutes this a little bit, but not very much. The corrections really don't help us a great deal. In summary, Cosmos was well correlated with the 0 to 30 centimeter water content. It was well correlated to the 0 to 30 centimeter water storage, and best correlated with that. The effective depth algorithm really didn't work well at all. It responded to rainfall much better than it did to subsurface drip irrigation. It was biased upward by biomass and absolute humidity of the air, and the corrections did not take care of that very much. And we do not see it as a useful irrigation management tool. That might be a little bit different, but a slide that I don't have time to show here shows the Lysimeter storage versus the Cosmos storage. And although you see some similar peaks, you can't get ET out of this. You can't get crop water use out of it. So I'm done. I'm getting the eye. We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.